You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
All right.
Awesome.
Recording in progress.
Recording in progress. All right, cool. All right, so to begin, please introduce yourself.
My name is Sam, but I go by the stage name of Haug, and I write stories and I tell them through music.
All right, so Sam, aka Haug, towards the end of last year, you announced that you were working on a new album called Mild Nourishment, which would take on a form that's quite different to the previous releases you've put out. So can you tell us a bit about the album in your own words?
Sure. This album, it spawned from a sort of burnout that I went through releasing my last album. And I was at like a crossroads of like deciding, I guess, whether I still wanted to do music. So when I decided that I did, I wanted to write an album that was sort of sonically inspired by video games I played as a kid. And a lot of them were like video games from the PS1 era. And I honed in into this game, Spyro the Dragon specifically. And I tried to emulate the sort of like sound limitations that the composer had when he wrote the album. The composer is Stuart Copeland of The Police. And when I finally wrote the whole album is sort of like a therapeutic experience for myself to sort of like remind myself why I love doing music. I realized that it might have been a bit of a hard sell to sell these songs because they're probably a bit more soundtracky rather than like, you know, a bit more contemporary. So that's where I decided that maybe what could help bridge the album to, I guess, casual listeners would be to sort of take that inspiration that inspired the sounds and expand that visually as well. So I wanted to get into like the PS1 aesthetic visually, and that's where I decided that, you know, I try to jump a bit into 3D animation and try and, you know, create that style, but at the same time do the storytelling through the visual element as well.
Right. So can you tell us a little bit more about this visual element? Like, what form will it take? Will this be maybe just a movie, or could it be something that listeners could interact with as well?
To be honest, the way I imagined it currently and the various forms that it could take, it's still, you know, it's not concrete at the moment. But at the very least, what I had in mind is for each track, or rather maybe the focus tracks of the album, they'd have like an accompanying visual that sort of acts as, I guess you could say, a music video. But unlike most typical music videos, the story actually continues, and I do intend to release singles in the order of chronology in terms of, if you were to listen to the album in its like entirety, the singles would be in the order of how it'd be released, or rather how you'd be listening to it if you were to hear the whole album. So naturally you'd be watching a sort of like story take place that sort of encompasses the whole album. So, you know, single one will lead into single two. And if I do have the time and energy, maybe the tracks in between, I'll also be like, you know, doing a bit more of the storytelling. So I think, to be a bit more specific to your question, the album opener, it'll start with like the 3D version of myself going on this journey. And it starts very simple. You know, I'm in a home back here in Singapore, and I come across this like mysterious voice that's telling me to take this mild nourishment type drink. And once I do that, like things, they go haywire, and it takes on a way more surreal energy from that point on. And at some point you just abandon like Singapore or the typical world is like. And yeah, I, you know, without spoiling anything, that's where you sort of like start to pay attention and see where the songs really go and how it resonates both with the lyrics as well as what they mean to me in terms of like my personal struggles and how the visuals sort of like visualize that in its own surreal way, I guess.
Right. So it'll be like a series of videos that tell the story of the album, essentially.
Yeah, that is what I can confirm. terms of how other potential ideas might come about, since I've gone down the whole 3D rabbit hole, I realized that like the assets I've created for these videos could also be converted into sort of like an indie game kind of thing. So I personally do not have the energy to like immerse myself into like a whole 3D game design. So I do know that like they're transferable, so I'll just make this like a shout if anyone's out there who's comfortable enough with doing game design, I'd be more than happy to see these stories take the form of a video game as well.
Right. Because you're doing like all the animation and music production by yourself for this project, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So what is the story that you'll be telling through this visual novel?
Okay, so I guess that's where we need to like break it down to the real struggles, I guess, and what inspired the songs in the first place. Storytelling isn't exactly like new to Hauk, I suppose, but in the past, where I would like, describe the various struggles of the time that sort of inspired the songs, they'd be a lot more, I guess, literal. Where now I wanted to do this sort of album, I wanted to also use it as therapy to, like I said earlier, like figure it out and find a way for me to enjoy these things. So naturally, some of the struggles that I went through, like for example, on one track, there's this song called Stop Changing My Bus Route. It's not literally about the complaint of that. I think on the surface, that's a very fun and cheeky way to describe a more deeper issue about how, as you get older in life, how willing are you to take risks? And risks in the sense of whether they can help you with your own ambition, with your own quest towards, I guess, fulfillment. And the doubt around that and whether you want to really explore how far you want to go and be bold as a person. I use the sort of metaphor of the constant changing bus routes of the neighborhoods I live in to expand, I guess, on those themes. And I felt like it would be very fun to just go completely bonkers with animated buses, I suppose, and how my journey is not straightforward. And at some point, do I just sit on the bus or do I just like do something? And from there, like that's where it leads to the next song and the next journey and whatnot, you know?
Right, so it's like sort of like a collection of anecdotes
Yeah.
that I'm
Yeah,
familiar
you could
to.
say so. I guess, like, to be a bit less ambiguous. So, Bus Route and the next song I probably intend to release, it's called Lizard's Lounge. And that's also me exploring putting music back on my terms and finding out what I really love about it. I realized that over the years, through my performances, I always feel like there's almost like an aspect of me that exclusively takes form on stage. I don't think it's not me. I think it's just an aspect of me that feels the most natural on stage. And I wanted to acknowledge that as just part of my character. And I find that, to put it quite simply, like that aspect of me a bit more slinky, a bit more sensual. And I thought like, if we were to turn this into like a video game thing, like a lizard would be like a very good animal to describe that energy. And I created a whole atmosphere with this song to sort of be in the space where I'm in like a lounge, and the lounge is not mine, but in the environment of the lizards. And the song sort of goes where, like, as you hear it, it starts with just one voice, and that's mine. But then as the song goes on, it gets a lot more chaotic. And lyrically, it centers itself around me letting myself go to the fact that these other voices or these other personalities are me embracing that chaos. And that's where the lizards, I suppose, they take more control of the song, and vocally it just goes all over the place, but in that sort of controlled chaos sort of environment. So like for example with the bus, and I go on that journey, I guess, through certain circumstances, through choices I make because of the themes of the earlier song, I end up at these environments like the lounge. And then from there, sort of like going through that whole struggle of like embracing what the environment really is, and I guess I am one with the lizards at some point. So these are just like how some of the chapters come together, and they do have like that chronological structure, but there's also this touch I wanted to give where like there's almost this sort of ambiguity, because I wanted to give the viewers a sort of sensation of like a video game where part of it is your own journey. So I didn't want to be too literal with the directions as well.
Another thing I wanted to ask is, if I'm correct, the setting for the visual album will be, or at least like based on the trailer or the teaser that you posted on your Instagram, the setting will be in a HDB. Is there any significance to using a HDB as a setting for the visual album?
Yeah, I think that great question, because like I think it has a relevance that makes sense to me on more than one level. First, I guess you could say that like Haug as a project started when I was living in Hougang, and that's like for the listeners out there, that's one of the suburbs in Singapore. And I lived in an old HDB estate, and a lot of the emotions back then felt very raw, and it felt like the neighborhood sort of played a part in informing what my personality as a performer would be like. But I wouldn't say that it's purely that. Like, it's a combination of that, there's also a combination of the fact that it starts from a very realistic environment before things go surreal. And I felt like the best way to visualize that, at the very least, to my audience would be a typical residential landscape within Singapore. And I think the HDBs are pretty iconic in terms of showcasing that. But I guess, like, on a third layer of it, it's, you know, like, I think when you jump into genres like vaporwave and stuff like that, you know, music that I guess I would call myself adjacent to, a lot of the themes beyond the music involve a lot of nostalgia. Some of it take a more socio-political thing, but let's not go there for now. I think more specifically, I wanted to focus a bit more on nostalgia. And a lot of the other artists, they find nostalgia that's in a brand that's unique to them and probably their listeners, but not necessarily authentic to me because that's not the upbringing I've had as a kid. So I thought having my own take on it and, you know, representing like what's kind of like uniquely Singaporean and I guess also iconic would be the HDB estates. And if you do recall from that teaser as well, I've only like limited myself to just the older type of designs. I've not used like, I guess if you look through that teaser and things that will come later, it doesn't feel like it's the modern day. There's nothing that would hint towards it. Like, for example, once we get the bus involved, it'll be a public bus of the 90s. It'll be sort of cars on the streets that would be cars that no longer exist. And I think that's even more potent when it's Singapore because cars over here, they constantly evolve so fast because, you know, we don't have long-term ownership with cars in Singapore. So naturally, like a car that's 20 years old is a rarity here, you know? So yeah, these things are supposed to invoke a sense of nostalgia. And yeah, I felt like the HDB felt like a great place to start.
Does that also tie into your decision to work with PS1 style visuals? Not just evoking that feeling of nostalgia, but also using, you know, older HDB designs and older car designs, which would probably work better with PS1 style visuals?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, like, for example, with the cars, they are more boxier in the past. So naturally, like, you know, they're a lot more suited for that sort of aesthetic. The old blocks, the HDB blocks, their brutalist approach lends itself quite heavily to that PS1 style aesthetic as well. So, you know, you got me thinking whether this was conscious of me, you know, when I like picked those designs for the assets, were they like sort of conscious? But I don't think they were. I think they were primarily like chosen for its nostalgic value, but then I realized it really lent itself pretty well to the PS1 aesthetic. So I guess that's a good plus.
So another thing I wanted to ask is what does mild nourishment actually mean? What is the meaning of the album title?
Good question, to be honest. Like, I felt like I was going down this like really cringy path with, you know, the albums in the past having, they're all like the something something and they're all like three worded, you know? And I love the names of all my prior releases. I think they're very authentic to what I think the stories are about. But at this point, as I was like going through this sort of like burnout and wanting to write songs that felt a bit more, I guess, purer to me and not necessarily something commercial, I wanted the album name to also sort of reflect that energy. I didn't want to give people this sort of impression that it's something bombastic, you know? I wanted it to be a bit more simplistic, but not in a way that sells itself short. I know the term mild sounds like, you know, you're in for like a blue balls kind of journey, but it isn't really the case. It's supposed to be a bit more ironic. And I think pretty early, everyone who sort of listens to the album or has a look at the visuals will know that nothing about it is mild. You know, in fact, like I think playing with that irony is sort of supposed to help make it a bit more accessible, I suppose, you know, get people to be sort of set their own expectations. But I think, yeah, that's where the mild comes in terms of nourishment. I think I want people to sort of get this experience and to consume it, be it visually or orally. It's a form of nourishment, not mild. That's where, you know, I guess I cheat everyone, but like it's still a form of nourishment for them. So I guess it's a bit of being cheeky, which is still very on brand. And some of the songs retain that sort of energy or tone, I suppose.
And then sonically or musically, are you doing anything different on this album that you haven't done on previous releases of yours?
Yeah. So once again, I felt like when I wanted to reapproach songwriting or producing, I wanted to sort of make this experience productive for me because I didn't really expect it to be something commercial, so I wanted to seek some sort of like other value from it. So the way that manifested through how it was produced, I basically sort of limited myself to working with just one synthesizer on this album. There's no guitars, there's nothing else really. Like it's just that one synthesizer. It's called the Roland JV1080. It's from 1994, I think. And the reason I chose that synthesizer specifically is because it was a mainstay in like soundtracks throughout the 90s, and be it video games or movies. So it's pretty cheesy sounding, but I think anyone who is, you know, who's lived from maybe even like the early 2000s or even earlier would at the very least connect to some degree to these sounds. They'd probably find it vaguely familiar, which at the very least is the kind of effect I want to put on people. So sticking to that one synthesizer was also a choice because I wanted to learn to be a bit more minimalistic with my production approach. I tend to overdo it. Every album in the past sort of have this sort of very maximalist production style. I think some people sort of associate it as the Hauk production style, but I wanted to explore diversifying my production identity as well. So playing with one synthesizer and just cheesy sounds and learning to live with it, make it work, that was pretty special on this album. And I've had friends who are musicians come in throughout the production process and say like, oh, this guitar thing you've got going here, please let me re-record on an actual guitar. I'm like, no, it has to be this fake guitar. It has to be this really cheesy, like power chord type preset thing. And for some solos, it's also like a flute that feels like a fake flute that you'd see on like those like massage parlors from the early 2000s. I don't know, like they're like really weird and unique to a time. So it was great because I really wanted this album to challenge me that way and to try and like sort of learn to work with it and be more okay with certain production sensibilities and not overcompensate with overproducing it just because I feel a bit insecure about it. So I think anyone who listens to the album will pick that up pretty quick because it's mostly made from that synthesizer, if not samples from the actual video game that inspired the album.
Right. And there's also a big aspect of limiting yourself and like finding out how to be creative while working with less, if I'm correct.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, like I mentioned, like in the past, whenever I start the production process, I feel very vulnerable and insecure about whether it's good enough. And because of that, I end up putting like 10 more layers. And by the time I get to like writing vocals, there's no real space. So I'd wanted to like no longer do that whole thing of like, okay, let's reduce and reduce and find the space for vocals. Let's actually write less and then find that space early on. And it's interesting because ironically, it's also the first album to feature instrumentals. So though I did try to be a bit more spacious with the sound design, I came to the conclusion that some songs should not even have vocals. And I think it made sense, which is also the other new thing about the album.
And are there going to be any features on this album from other artists?
Yeah, I think just the one. Officially, I only have one feature. It's featuring this artist called Seth Nova. He's from the US and he's predominantly active in the vaporwave scene. He's done his own production and, you know, he sings on his tracks as well. I thought that like he's got a style that felt very familiar to my own sound. And funnily enough, what made me want to reach out to him was that he was actually experimenting with doing some production around the same game that inspired my album. And I was like, no, this is ridiculously convenient and coincidental. So I reached out and said, like, look, I'm actually doing this. Do you want to be a part of it? There were more people I wanted to sort of do this album with, but I guess it was too weird. And some of them, I think they struggled a bit to find the pocket for themselves. But unofficially, there's a bunch of people who sort of like lend their hands into sort of making this album work, both from a musical standpoint or even, you know, something more like, you know, just being around, being a part of the community that, you know, spurred this idea or like supported it coming into fruition. So in that sense, collaboration wise, there's a lot of local people, people like Isaac, people like John Paul, people like Don Aaron, people like Kenzo. These are all people who do music in Singapore. There's a bunch more, and they're like tracks that didn't even like make the cut. And I did some of these tracks with like people who came in, like, you know, people I met randomly who are like from the US and plays a flute and, you know, random things. They just, not all songs made sense. So collaborative in spirit, yes, but officially just the one.
And then lastly, is there a exact date that we can expect this album to come out on?
Ooh, that is a great question. I can't put a finger on it right now. That's also because I wanted to take a more unique approach with pushing this album. I didn't want to take the more traditional like PR approach. Yeah, I had an idea that maybe this album would have the weight of its efforts in the marketing sense done through social media. So I feel like once that takes the shape that I really like, if it starts to get like a momentum that sounds good to me, then that's where I'll probably like start pinning the dates. But I would say that at the very least, you'd expect like a third quarter for the whole album to drop. Because the songs are done, they're mastered. They're just like, you know, they're currently just waiting for like, you know, the visuals to sort of support it, because I truly feel like they are as important as the songs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.